This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam ajma'in. Yesterday we read a very long ether narrated from Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu about a discussion that he had with Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And because it was so long, we didn't get a chance to go over certain things. I thought there were certain things that should be explained so we could explain them. Regarding the Waqi'atul Jamal, the Waqi'atul Jamal is what's referred to in English as the incident or the battle of the camel, is an incident that happens during the reign of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And what happens is that Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, during the end of his reign, there are certain mischief makers in the Muslim empire. They cause certain problems to happen because of which people will come from the different provinces, from Egypt and from Iraq and from different places, and they'll come to Medina in great numbers, and they'll essentially riot and they'll cause law and order to break down in Medina Munawwara. And so what they do is that they siege the house of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and they taunt him until one day a couple of youth, they jump the walls into his house and they enter and they assassinate him. A'udhu billah. And so what happens is that the state of the ummah at that time is very, it's very just disjointed, and there's a lot of problem going on. And so it's in that environment that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu becomes Khalifa, that the elder Sahaba, they come together and they give him bay'ah, they pledge allegiance with him. And so what happens is that environment obviously is not like suitable, it's not stable for running government. So Sayyidina Ali is in a very difficult position. So two Sahaba are mentioned in the Athar yesterday, Sayyidina Zubair ibn al-Awam and Sayyidina Talha ibn Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. And so Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, he mentions something about them that he doesn't agree with, you know, their political stance they took. And the political stance is specifically that when they took bay'ah, when they took the oath of allegiance with Sayyidina Ali, they said, "We take oath of allegiance with you on the condition you promise that you'll bring the murderers of Uthman to justice." And so what happens is, after a year goes by in some time, he's not able to fulfill on that promise because the state is still too unstable, right? But there's a difference of opinion at this point amongst the Sahaba. Some of them say, no, you can find them and you can still execute them in retaliation for having killed Sayyidina Uthman. And Sayyidina Ali says, well, first of all, I don't know who exactly the conspirators are in order to bring them to justice. And B, if we go down that route, it will just cause another chaotic event like that to happen again. And so what happens is that this is the difference of opinion of that, is it possible to do this or not? And so a number of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, senior Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they say that because Sayyidina Ali is not bringing them to justice at this time, we feel the right to have some sort of political protest, if you will. And so what they do is they'll get up and they'll leave Medina, and the most honorable, noble of them is Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Ummul Mu'mineen. So she leaves her house and she also joins this kind of protest party. And so they leave and they go somewhere east in the Arabian Peninsula, and a large group of people gather with them until it becomes basically like an army enough to destabilize the state again. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he doesn't have any of this. He says that this is wrong, what you guys did is wrong, it's going to cause instability in the Muslim state, and you can't do it. And so he'll show up with an army also with them. What happens is that when they send their messengers to exchange discussions with one another, they come to the point that we can talk this out, we don't need to fight it out. So they agree to that. And what ends up happening is that there are people of bad intentions on both sides. Not the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, but other kind of smaller figures that either are people who get really upset really quickly and they just think that they're right and everyone else in the world is wrong, or people who have a vested interest in some sort of fight going on. So both sides have these types of people in them. And so what ends up happening is that both camps are facing each other, And people from both camps like that, they begin the fighting with each other without having received a command. And then the people from the other side will return fire, and they basically start fighting with each other to the point where the battle starts without having received a command from either side. And so what happens is that one of the archers from the camp of Sayyidina Ali, he shoots an arrow and hits Sayyidina Talha ibn Ubaidillah, one of the two. Because Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas refers to both of them as shaheeds. Both of them are on the side of with Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And so what happens is he's shot basically before the battle even starts. And so the person who shot him, he vaunts like as if like, look, I did a big thing, like I'm a big shot. And what ends up happening is Sayyidina Ali says to him, he says, you shot Talha ibn Ubaidillah. And he mentions all the fadail and all the virtues of this person, what he did for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that the one who kills him will be a munafiq, you know. And so he completely disapproves of what happened. And it's at that time from the other side, when the fighting starts, Zubair bin Awam, who's also one of the leaders of the Sayyidina Aisha's side, he leaves the battlefield because he doesn't want to participate in the fighting. And his son says, why are you leaving the battlefield? The Arabs are all going to say you're a coward. And he says, no, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me that I would, at the end of my life, something like this would happen, and it's all coming true. I didn't know that this was the time and place it would happen, and I'm not going to participate in the fighting. So he walked off the battlefield. Someone from Sayyidina Ali's side saw him and said, and gave him aman, gave him security, and said that, like, I won't fight you. And then he treacherously killed him also because he thought he was doing something good by killing someone who's a nobleman from the other side. And so what happens is the battle, it starts, and so they're both sides are, you know, have to fight in order to defend themselves. The reason it's called the Battle of the Jamal is that there is an extraordinarily large camel that is purchased for Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha to ride in. And that camel is called Askar. It's called like an Askar is like an army. And so that it's given the name Askar, and there's a hodaj, like a booth in it that's shielded from view from all sides. And so she's in it, and the battle essentially ends when that camel is brought down. It's a sign to the entire army on the side of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha that militarily they've been completely defeated, so they'll disband and they'll accept defeat. And so what happens is they say that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself comes and himself will receive Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha from her camel, and then he'll arrange for someone to be an escort for her to go back to Medina Munawwara. There's obviously no punishment. Why? Because she's one of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. And so this is something, it's a story worth telling, even though a person might think, well, how is it that the Sahaba could fight with one another? Look at the love that they had for one another, that the commanders, they left the side of, many of them left the field of battle. When someone, a commander from the other side is killed, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu expresses regret and anger at his killing. And when the fight is over, instead of taking retaliation from one another, they treat each other with respect. And actually, this is one of the interesting things, we'll end with this point. One of the one of the strange things about the age we live in is that people say, oh, look, you know, Islam empowers women because Sayyidina Aisha directed the field of battle from the back of her camel on that day. And the fact of the matter is that, yes, Islam does give honor and dignity to women, not because of the Waqi'atul Jamal. It's because of what's in the Quran and the Sunnah, because it's a revelation from Allah that comes down from the seven heavens and from the Arsh Azim, and from above the Arsh Azim, and it came down on the heart of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Actually, people completely missed the point, and the point is that Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that I made a mistake in going out on that day. I should have stayed home. I shouldn't have caused fractiousness and disruption in the ranks of the Muslims. And she actually took an oath that I'll never leave my house again. She never left again. She just stayed home except for dire necessities and whatnot. She never left after that again, except for, you know, necessities. She never went out and did anything like that ever again after that. And this is something I think is lost on a lot of people. You know, instead of engaging in the identity politics with one another, we should try to learn what the moral of the story is. The moral of the story is that she felt that was a mistake. And they forgave each other. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu forgave each other for what happened that day. And you can see that Abdullah bin Abbas is the first cousin of Sayyidina Ali. He was definitely on his side. And when Sayyidina Muawiyah asked him, describe these two people, you know, you notice he described them in the best of ways. You know, if you do it, for those who weren't here, you can look it up in the soundcloud.com/Rockford Muslim. You can listen to the hadith from yesterday. It's very long. But when he described Talha and Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, he described them in the best of ways, and he made dua for them, and he described them with respect. And I think that's kind of a more important point than a lot of the other things people pull out of it. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala rasulihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam ajma'in.